KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 32 degrees. We look for mostly sunny skies here today and a high of 69. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony, Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair, located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news this hour, Atlantic Police Chief Dave Erickson reports the arrest on Sunday of 38-year-old Brandy Warrior of Fontenelle. Warrior was taken into custody for OWI first offense. She was arrested following an investigation into an accident that happened at around 11 p.m. Saturday at 7th and Poplar when her vehicle ran into the rear of a vehicle driven by Brian Nielsen of Atlantic. The accident happened as Nielsen was stopped for the traffic light. Warrior was cited for failure to stop as well. Damage from the collision amounted to $9,000. And on Friday, 35-year-old David Roberts of Atlantic was arrested for assault with intent to inflict serious injury and administering harmful substances. Roberts and Warrior are both booked into the Cass County Jail. And the Atlantic Police Department reports that Lee Parrish of Atlantic was cited Saturday afternoon, for unsafe backing onto a highway after his vehicle was backing out of the Casey's parking lot at 7th and Poplar and struck a vehicle driven by Star Fiedler of Atlantic that was stopped on Poplar Street waiting for the Parrish vehicle to get backed out of the parking slot. The damage amounted to $3,500 in that particular accident. Police in Creston report 47-year-old Salvador Banda of Creston was arrested Friday morning on drug charges. Banda was taken into custody at his home in the 700 block of East Summit Street for possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver over 5 grams and failure to affix a drug tax stamp. His bond at the Union County Jail was set at $30,000. And last Thursday evening, 29-year-old Lanzi Sheremy of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. He was later released on a $300 bond. The Creston Police Department reports also a Clearfield man told authorities Saturday morning that someone stole his wallet containing cash, credit, and debit cards, along with a checkbook. Those items were taken from the man's locker where he worked at 500 Industrial Parkway. The incident, which happened sometime between 1:30 and 4 a.m. on October 14th, resulted in a loss of about $50. Elsewhere in state news, authorities say two people have died in a West Des Moines collision that was caused by a wrong-way driver. The collision occurred just before 2 a.m. Sunday on Interstate 35. Authorities say a car was heading south in one of the northbound lanes and collided with an oncoming vehicle. Both drivers were killed. Police identified the driver of the southbound car as 49-year-old Monty Johnson of Hartford. The driver of the northbound car was 32-year-old Nirupin Shinney, who lived in West Des Moines. His passenger, 27-year-old Durga Papina, was taken to the hospital for treatment. Also in the news, traffic crashes in Iowa last year killed 404 people, and 53 of those fatalities were drivers under the age of 20. This week is National Teen Driver Safety Week, and Matt Nasworthy, a spokesperson for AAA, says car crashes remain the leading cause of death for teens across the country.
Well, as an age group, teen drivers get involved in more crashes than anyone else on the road.
And although distracted driving is dangerous for anyone, regardless of age, Nasworthy said it appears to be a bigger problem for teens. The distraction doesn't always involve cell phones.
We see that almost 6 out of 10 of their crashes are caused by distraction. And oddly enough, the number one distraction for teen drivers is having other teen passengers in the car.
Those teenage passengers are being encouraged to help the driver keep their focus on the road.
What we want teens to do is to make sure that they're not getting involved in unnecessary conversations, not pulling the driver's attention away from the road to look at something else, or text or answer a phone, that sort of thing.
A passenger can also assist the teen driver by handling the controls of the radio and the air conditioner, or the heat, as the case may be. Nationally, more than 3,500 teens were killed in car crashes last year. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports about a quarter of the teen drivers involved in fatal crashes had been drinking alcohol. Republican Senator Joni Ernst says she's talked directly with the head of the federal agency that's reviewing Iowa's stopgap plan to shore up the state's individual insurance market.
We should know the administration's decision somewhere between the 20th and the 30th. I have been on calls with Seema Verma. I just talked to her last week. We'll continue to push how important this is to Iowa.
Verma heads the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That's the federal agency that must grant a waiver for the state's plan to help 72,000 Iowans buy individual insurance policies for 2018.
We may get all the measures approved, maybe not all of them, but one way or another, we expect that we'll see a difference for Iowans.
The state's insurance commissioner is asking for permission to redirect federal subsidies to ensure younger, healthier people buy insurance and send more of Obamacare subsidies to two insurance companies to cover the costs of care for older, sicker individuals. If the waiver is granted, Medica and Wellmark have said they'll sell individual policies to Iowans. Without the waiver, an estimated 20,000 Iowans will be unable to afford to buy health insurance next year. Ernst says she's still hoping a bipartisan effort in the U.S. Senate can come up with a wide-ranging health care reform measure.
We have to correct the deficiencies that are out there right now in the individual insurance program. It is imperative that we come together, we find a way forward. It's going to have to be bipartisan at this point.
And the GOP efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare have failed to get the support of enough Republicans in the Senate to pass. Ernst made her comments Saturday after a town hall meeting in the Northwest Iowa community of Brunsville. About 50 people attended the event, and Ernst answered questions about a variety of topics, including health care, immigration policy, and legalizing gun suppressors. Two Northeast Iowa men are raising awareness of a critical shortage of emergency medical technicians, or EMTs, in rural areas of the state and calling for changes in law so ambulance service is deemed essential. Bremer County's Emergency Management Coordinator Kip Lage said that the EMS Association's president, Jim Schutt, spoke about the state's EMS crisis at a Waverly Town Hall meeting on October 11th. Lage says that small-town agencies are struggling for volunteers, especially as many members reach retirement age. He said the shortage means area medics sometimes aren't available to respond to calls. Calls then get deferred to another community, which, of course, increases the response time. Residents discussed funding EMS services through sales or property taxes to help address the issue. The Des Moines Airport has had to divert and delay some flights after heavy rain caused a runway problem this weekend. Airport Executive Director Kevin Foley said the runway was closed between 4 and 6 p.m. Saturday so the team could fix the problem. He said the team had found the runway had bubbled up after rain seeped beneath the pavement. Foley said officials will try and find out why the water caused the runway to bubble. And a new legislation moving through Congress is designed to expand the markets for farmers in Iowa and nationwide, for that matter. It's called the Local Food and Regional Market Supply, or FARMS, Act. Anna Johnson, a policy program associate with the Center for Rural Affairs, said the bill aims to help producers sell locally.
This bill does three things to help local foods. And the first thing is that it helps farmers reach new markets, and then it increases access to healthy food for low-income populations. And then the third thing is that it strengthens the infrastructure for local foods to reach market.
The bill also proposes giving school districts more leeway in buying from local sources. She explains more about how it would boost access to healthy foods for people in low-income brackets.
USDA has a program called the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program, which helps seniors access fresh, healthy food at farmers markets. So one of the proposals here is to expand that to also be available for low-income veterans. That will not only help out veterans, it would also expand the markets for producers.
Johnson says parts of the bill could be included in the 2018 Farm Bill that's being crafted. And she says recent years have been tight for agriculture, and this would certainly help.
Farmers who are selling into local markets have been expanding, and this would help address a couple of those bottlenecks or limitations to existing supply chains that they're running into that are keeping them from expanding their businesses and keeping additional farmers from entering into these channels.
Johnson says the bill also would expand loan and grant opportunities through the Farm Service Agency, which could help to increase meat and dairy processing capabilities for small producers. The Center for Rural Affairs is based in Lyons, Nebraska. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the U.S.-led coalition battling the Islamic State group says it believes the exchange of fire between Iraqi and Kurdish forces in and around Kirkuk was a misunderstanding. A coalition statement says it's monitoring federal and Kurdish military vehicles and believes they are coordinated movements, not attacks. Fire crews battling wildfires in California's wine country are gaining ground, and thousands of residents have gotten the okay to return home. The danger is far from over, though, but smoky skies have started to clear in some places. Some 75,000 people remain under evacuation orders. Howard Lasker, who returned Sunday to his torched Santa Rosa home, says, "I have to rebuild. I want to rebuild." And Portuguese media are reporting that the death toll in the country's spate of deadly wildfires there has risen to 31, with several others missing. The Civil Protection Agency had said earlier that 27 died in Portugal, but noted that the number could rise. Agency officials couldn't immediately be contacted to confirm the new total. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair, located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.